Hi, I'm Sky Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
We've got Robert Crane.
In 3, 2, 1.
He's a Microsoft MVP, a Microsoft
certified trainer,
an Office 365
specialist, blogger, podcaster, social media enthusiast, and one-of-a-kind speaker who has a gift for explaining tech to the average person so they can understand it.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
There's also myself, Mark Keane. All right, let's move on. I'm the voiceover guy, producer of this podcast, blogger, speaker,
an Azure
architect,
and Microsoft
MVP who specializes in helping people with a journey to Microsoft Azure. You are listening to the
Need to Know podcast.
It's your source for the very latest in Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations all about Azure and Office 365.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast. My name is Robert Crane, and for something a bit different, are you recording?
Yes.
Good, just checking. We've gone al fresco. Is that funny, Mark?
No, I'm just laughing because you've changed your voice. We're talking before about just a normal discussion. Because since I hit record, you've just changed your voice. It's gone up a few octaves or whatever
else. It's called being professional.
So anyway, episode number?
146.
And we are at the Java Life Cafe in Pennant Hills, of all places, in Sydney.
Along with all the currawongs, magpies and noisy motor birds, so...
Adds to the ambience.
Yeah, adds to the ambience. All right.
So what have you been up to?
Me? Oh, I've been away for a while. Been at the Grand Prix. Thank God that my team won, so very happy about that. Still lots of work that needs to be done, obviously, keeping me busy. What about yourself, Mark?
Been pretty quiet, because I've quit my job. So I'm sort of in the progress of moving on to another position, and it's in that 4-week period where you've got the 4 weeks notice, but also too, not only that, I've got in amongst all that 4 weeks, I've got 2 weeks annual leave up my sleeve as well. So I've been sort of taking ad hoc days off, getting things done, like all the things on that list of stuff that you need to get done. So I've been getting a lot of the stuff out of the way, and in the progress of deciding on my new adventures.
New adventures, excellent. Well, that's what we want. So what new adventures can you tell us about in the world of Azure? What's been happening?
Well, there's quite a few news pieces that have come out. So Azure AD B2C access tokens are now available in public preview. So you've now got greater control over web APIs when you secure them using Azure AD B2C. Microsoft have announced the public preview for using access tokens with web APIs. With this in-demand feature, it makes it possible to create web APIs that can be accessed by different client applications. You can grant permissions to your APIs on an app-to-app basis and will be available to develop apps with higher security and tighter security as well. So we'll put more information on that in the show notes with a link. Should I keep going?
Yeah, why not? I can actually see what you're doing now, so yeah, I'm fascinated.
It's on the other side.
I'm fascinated.
Really?
Keep
Are you
going.
Fascinated?
Keep going.
You think it's a great idea?
Keep going. Stop using your fingers.
Azure SQL hybrid data movement. So hybrid cloud, Rob, is becoming more and more the norm. I mean, let's face it, you can't go 100% cloud, you can't go 100% on-prem. You've got to go a bit of both. And hybrid cloud is pretty much the in thing at the moment. And so for that, one of the most challenging and biggest aspects of moving to the cloud is working with SQL databases. So Microsoft have written a blog post on all the different options you have in moving SQL databases across hybrid scenarios. So on-prem SQL Server, Azure VM SQL servers in IaaS, or Azure SQL databases in PaaS. So you name it, it's basically, it's all covered in this blog post. So for example, it covers stuff like migrating data from on-premise SQL Server to Azure, backup and restore data, migrate cold data from on-premise SQL Server to Azure. Some tools covered in the blog are export and import backpack files, SQL Server backup and restore, including managed backup and file snapshot backup, always on availability groups, and SQL Server data sync. So all of those components are covered in this blog post. It's a thorough blog post that points to other posts and other articles that sort of talk about ways to move SQL Server databases from on-prem to the cloud and a bit of both. So remember how we talked about on a podcast just recently about having cold data moved up to the cloud and having hot stuff on-prem, all of that stuff's covered. So it's a pretty cool article, like the hot topic of SQL Server, and that's pretty much one of the biggest things about moving to the cloud is, what are you going to do with that database? We had Greg Lowe on recently, didn't we?
Yeah, a couple of episodes ago, we spoke to Greg about the SQL side of things, so we maybe need to get him back on, because obviously SQL in the cloud seems to be very, very big at the moment, so this hybrid stuff obviously is something that would be right up his alley, and he'd give us some more details. So let's work on that, see if we can get Greg back on the episode.
That's a great idea. We should get him to sort of run through this article and sort of get his comments right the way through.
Probably a good idea. So I think we'll hopefully be running into him shortly, so we'll try and arrange that. But again, good to hear. Be interesting to hear from people out there if they are using SQL themselves, what challenges they've had obviously moving to the cloud, and you know what level they're going to. So it obviously gives you a lot of power, which is great. But I think there are some challenges when it comes to the SQL world, because a lot of stuff I think still locked a bit in the 2005 era. It's not quite up to date yet. So there's a lot of big jump for a lot of people, but the sooner they make that jump, the better. So that's good.
Yeah, I agree. So yeah, definitely it's a hot topic, and especially with SQL Server, it's one of the biggest databases in use in production out there in the market.
Excellent.
So the other thing is actually a bit of a segue into this is, you've got your short black over there.
And you've been slurping your cappuccino, hopefully, into the microphone so everybody can hear it.
That's right. So I've got a cappuccino. Now, one of these days, both of these coffee cups and this salt and pepper shaker on the desk here, on the table, or this number here, whatever block that you can't see, and this table number, which is sitting on the table, they're going to be having IP addresses, correct?
One of these days.
Which is Internet of Things. So speaking of Internet of Things, there's going to be an IoT camp happening in April 19 at Clifton's in Sydney. It's presented by Dave Glover from Microsoft. So they're going to be talking about Windows 10 IoT Core with Raspberry Pi 2, because now Windows 10 now will run on much, much lower spec computers. So they're going to be covering a lot of that. You'll have a good understanding, if you come along, you can get a good understanding of typical IoT solutions involving Windows 10 IoT Core and Microsoft Azure as well. So it'll cover pretty much everything Windows 10 and Azure, all things IoT. What to expect? What is the Internet of Things? Introduction to Microsoft Azure IoT services, because it's all big in Azure at the moment. Learning about IoT devices and clients, and plenty of hands-on stuff as well. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes. It goes to his blog post about the IoT camp happening in Sydney. And the only thing is, and I've let Dave know this, is the link that says register now is a dead link. It doesn't go anywhere for me. So it might work for you. It could be just my computer. I have tried it a couple of times. But anyway, it's happening April 19. It's a little while to go yet. And I have let Dave know about the broken link, so we'll see if that gets fixed in time.
Excellent. All right, let me do some stuff before you get too wrapped up, and you can also then have another slurp of that cappuccino
there. I've got chocolate on my beard.
Oh dear, we'll have to refrain from doing video in the future, won't we? We don't want to see that. So some big news is that Microsoft Teams has been released to education. That happened, I think, overnight or the night before.
All right. So which state?
Sorry?
Which education? Which state?
No, all education plans.
Oh, great.
Microsoft Teams currently wasn't available to Microsoft Teams, but now big demand for it. Obviously, it works in a school and you can have a classroom and as a team. So Microsoft have moved that into production now, which is great news. It'll be interesting to see how much they bring some of the other features they've promised, like external access. That's another really big request, but the roadmap seems to be something Microsoft are committed to developing very quickly. Microsoft Teams is getting major uptake with customers. There are still some challenges, and I wrote a blog post about disaster recovery when it comes to Teams, and also some differences when you have to look at backing up data, that sort of stuff. But it's good to see that it's rolling out. So that's a real positive for people in the education space. I think it'll work well at schools.
I'm trying to get Microsoft to come along to my son's school next year for the Science and Technology Fair, which is what they're planning in 2018, which is a similar thing. But yeah, it's definitely at Microsoft's alley by the sounds of it.
Cool. All right. Another thing that I found floating around was a new Microsoft Virtual Academy course on provisioning Office 365 services. So Microsoft's very keen at the moment to get people certified. One of those certifications is provisioning Office 365 services. So again, it's worthwhile. They've retired the old course and put this new one in, so we'll put the link into the show notes. One of the other things that I came across, which is a bit Azure-y, is that you get a single sign-on web portal with Office 365 included, and you can then incorporate many SaaS-based apps. And one of them, for example, is Evernote. So they've done a whole blog post on the tutorial about how to set that up. So we'll include that in the show notes as well. And another quick one is that Office 365 Video, which was available to enterprise plans only, is now going to be available to kiosk plans as well. So they'll be able to view the videos that are created and uploaded to Office 365 Video. So that's pretty cool.
They've released the other video service as well for consumers as well, haven't they?
Correct, Stream.
Stream, that's it.
Correct. So it seems that Microsoft is teeing up a consumer version and a commercial version. Interestingly, they haven't got a free version of Teams. Maybe it's too difficult to do, perhaps. But everything else, you know, OneDrive, Skype, Stream or the video, email with Outlook, all have consumer-based services.
And they are free too, they?
Correct.
Free
they are all free, correct. They're all falling under the Microsoft login, so it is nice and easy. You can connect all the apps on your phones, so you can have a total Microsoft experience on just about any sort of phone device that you've got. So the only criticism Microsoft could face, it would be nice if they had consistent naming conventions, but we don't worry about that. As long as the system works technically, that's all we're really worried about. So plenty of options for people. I think it's a good way to get people into the Microsoft ecosystem cheaply and then see the value of it and then upscale. And I think the big seller is obviously the integration, the way that it all integrates together. So hopefully Microsoft can also solve this issue with its accounts, where it's got a different consumer login to an Azure login, Office 365 login, which is a lot of people have complaints about. So hopefully Microsoft can fix that as well shortly.
Well, speaking of consumer and what's the opposite? Enterprise, consumer and enterprise. You know Microsoft Flow.
Yep.
So I've been doing a lot with Microsoft Flow lately, and I've hit the limit. I think it's 250 free flows, and you've got to go up to the next plan up. Now, the good thing about Flow is you can jump into it. There's a free tier. You can, with a Microsoft account, you can log in and set it all up. But all of a sudden, it'll send you an alert, and it's just all of a sudden stops working when you hit that limit. And the next option is to upgrade to the next plan up and pay a bit of money. But using a Microsoft account, it doesn't let you. It's like...
Yeah, but don't you get... If you did it in your Office 365 account, you get a number, significantly
you would,
more.
And that's the time when I thought, you know what? I'm going to transfer all my flows, which is pretty much exactly the same, to Logic Apps, because it's a spitting image. It's exactly the same. And with Azure, my subscription in Azure, it'll just come off that.
Yeah, so Logic Apps obviously, I think, give you more control, but Flow is the nice, easy web interface over the top. But yeah, at its core, it's Logic Apps, and I've been using those for a long time now, and they are fantastic. A little bit more complex technical to set up, but once you get them going, they work really, really well. So if you haven't looked at that again, and you've got an Azure subscription, pop in and have a look at Logic Apps.
My blog post. I did a blog post on Flow and Logic Apps, setting up all the different flows, the conditions, and
it's pretty easy. Once you get the Logic App environment set up, it's pretty easy. It's almost the same as Flow, effectively.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and I also noticed too, one of the other issues, I was doing some Power BI consulting, and they were looking to do some sort of thing, the Power BI, you know, take a report, spit it out somewhere or share it. And I had a quick look in Flow, and again, we're beginning to see things like Power BI appear in Flow as connectors. So it means that, again, one of the big benefits Microsoft will bring to the table is the integration will allow you to connect a Power BI report, email it, throw it into a SharePoint document library, do all these sort of things. And I think that's a really powerful thing when you look at an overall solution for a business.
Oh, yeah. And also, too, down the bottom, when you're building your different flows, if the API, the connector, isn't available, you can click down the bottom, there's a link saying use a voice. Yeah. You can click on that and then you can vote for it.
Correct.
And because obviously they've got like a team that put this all together and they're stretched and they've only got like certain numbers of
and
people
the APIs
working.
Are there. The APIs are already there, it's just a priority.
Yeah, and they're putting them in quite fast and quite rapidly at a fast pace.
Well, I think again, you know, it's just a matter of connecting them all up, and we should see more and more of them.
It's a great service.
They work really, really well. And again, there's a free tier, but you get a fair amount, I think, for free with Office 365. There is a limit, but I think in Office 365, but In Azure, then again, you just pay by consumption, I think, so it's pretty good.
Yeah, I've got mine set every 3 minutes, it checks. It's like, I don't even know what the bill is. Until I get my first bill, I'll probably freak out and then crank it back a bit.
It's in Logic Apps,
it can't be that much, though.
I think it's defined on the machine you set it up on, rather than the flows that run.
Well, yeah, because Logic Apps, don't forget, is part of the app service plan. And the app service plan is similar to like...
a website.
The way I like to put it is, it's similar to like one virtual machine.
Yeah.
And that app service plan, it's like multiple... IIS web apps on the one server sort of thing. So yeah,
so that's sort of a flat fee per month based on the virtual machine you want to run it on.
Yeah, I think so. But the fact that it runs every 3 minutes, and I'm not too sure, it doesn't actually specify what the app service plan is that you're using, because you know when you set up a web app, it says run it on this app service plan.
But it tells you when you set it up what virtual machine size you want to run it on. One of three, I think.
No.
Anyway.
It just says new Logic app and that's it. And then resource group and that's it.
I'm pretty sure that you can go in there and pick a virtual machine compute, basically a compute resource to run it, you know, powerful, less powerful, unless they've changed it.
Yeah.
But I think you'll obviously be able to go into the bill and see, you know, a line there for Logic app and you'll get an idea. But it's probably
we'll have a look.
Just based on a machine, you know, compute machine. So that's pretty cool. So if you haven't looked at Logic Apps, again, take a look at that. Obviously, email Mark with any questions you've got because he's now become the expert.
Well, we'll put a link in the show notes to my blog site. I am going to try and do a video on a walkthrough on setting up flows and Logic Apps because I think like this time of the year, could be just this time in general, it is got a lot of value having the flows and Logic Apps to really make your lives easier. So I might put a video together and stick it on Channel 9 or on YouTube and see if people can get value out of it. I've got one last piece of news here. So general availability of geographic routing capability in Azure Traffic Manager. So Rob, before in Azure Traffic Manager, they had a mode called performance mode. And so performance mode was sort of like geographic routing. So based on, so let's say you have a web app, like we were talking about before, and that web app could be hosted in Sydney. You might have another web app, pretty much exactly the same, hosted in, say, London, right? So one Sydney, one in London. You set up Traffic Manager, which has a URL at the top, and set up in performance mode, it'll reroute the person to the closest endpoint web app based on their DNS server. So it's a bit tricky. People don't really understand that. I think performance mode is, and the writing for it is a bit ambiguous because it says talks about sort of geographic routing. But what it is, if you look into the details, it's actually based on if the user was in London and they went to the website by hitting the traffic manager URL.
Yeah,
but let's say they were using a DNS address of, say, Telstra DNS 139.130.4.4, which is hosted in Australia, then that would be routed to the Australian version of it. That's how it would work with the DNS and things like that. But right now, what's come out is geographic routing, true geographic routing. So not, it doesn't look at the DNS, it's all based on where the user is located. So if the user is in London and they're using for some reason a DNS server in a different country, whatever, doesn't matter, they'll be routed to the local copy.
So how does it work out who's local?
Based on the IP address where they are.
It's still the IP address.
Yeah, okay. I think so. Yeah, so I mean, some use cases are customizing and localizing content for specific regions, enabling better user experience and engagement. As an example, an e-commerce site can localize the site content and merchandise items to users in a specific region, and knowing where the users are coming from makes it easier to implement and mandates related to data sovereignty and things like that. So yeah, so take a look at that. It's geographic routing capability in Azure Traffic Manager. It's a lot more clearer and easier to use.
All right, I'm all done. I think you're probably all done. We might want to wrap it up and just see how this episode gets responded to by our listeners, given it's a little bit different, a little bit of background noise, out with the nature, I suppose, and we'll see how it goes.
It's authentic.
Authentic, yeah, we like that. Okay, so what's the best way for people to contact us and follow our show?
It is on Twitter. At N2K Podcast.
And it's also the same on Facebook. So if you want to connect up with Facebook and join the community there, it's N2K Podcast. How else?
And also email is feedback at needtoknow.cloud is cool. The email address.
Yep, exactly. So again, if you've got some suggestions for the show or obviously feedback, let us know what you think. We've had some positive reviews of late. So again, we'll mix it all up. We'll add a few truck noises in the background. And
there's one more way. is if you go to podcasts.needtoknow.cloud, that'll take you to a list of all our podcasts in, oh, there goes a massive bus.
Is that your bus that you're taking? No, not that one. You take the train, that's right.
Yeah, podcast.needtoknow.cloud is, it'll reroute you to all our podcasts in date order with the newest one at the top.
All right, so if want to catch up on the previous episodes, make sure that you do. Let us know how this new authentic style works. If you're interested in doing or hearing more like this, we can arrange that. Otherwise, like I said, we'll continue on. We'll look for some guests. If you've got some suggestions, don't be afraid to let us know. We'll work on getting people like Greg Lowe on the show.
Yeah, otherwise, if you don't give us suggestions, we'll just pluck like random school kids off the street.
They probably know more about Windows 10 than I do, I would suggest. But maybe we start talking about Xbox. Maybe that'll get them interested.
Yeah, that'll get them gone.
All right. Well, with that, thanks very much for listening.
Alrighty, and time for something slightly different. Robert Crane has done a recording at one of his events for roughly 12 minutes from one of his live events that he's done recently using his brand new Rode lapel mic. The quality is actually quite good, actually. So let's take a listen.
Cool. Okay, so this is a brief, recording or example of something I did for Ingram in their cloud connection forum. Okay, so what we find today is that a vast majority of people, especially technical people, think that they've got the world down pat. They think, okay, the world's still the same as it was 5, 2, 3, 4 years ago, right? I will tell you right here, right now, the world is completely different from the way you think about it. Your experiences, the way you work, it is completely different from the way that you operate, right? So again, my advice to you is to have a look at a video like this. So let's see if we can get technology to work here for us. Okay, so again, just play this hopefully quick video for you. So anyway, we can go on and certainly have a look at that video. It is 10 minutes, there is a shorter version, but what it illustrates is some important concepts, right? So the reality I find is that most people think that they put in X and they get out Y. That's the reality. People think they live in a linear world. The reality is we live in an exponential world. Thanks to the power of the internet, thanks to the connectivity we have, people are now able to sell their ideas, to sell their products to millions and millions of people. They could never ever do that before. All right, so we're seeing basically, like I said, a very big difference between belief and reality. What's the difference between your belief and your reality? That's what you need to determine, okay? So look at this, the millennials became the largest demographic in the workforce today, right? What distinguishes a millennial? How does a millennial work differently from the way you probably work? What's a millennial do differently in the workplace that you don't do today, do you think? Correct. They don't use email. Their expectation is when they get to work, they expect to have social tools. They expect to work in public. They think email is passe. They will not respond to emails. What's another thing millennials do different than everybody else? Right? They spend all their lives on mobile devices. They don't like using desktops. They're not loyal to Lenovo, IBM, HP. They use any PC, preferably mobile devices. Every 12 months, what do they do with their mobile device? Get a new one. Want the latest and the greatest. The millennials work completely different. The millennials' expectation is what? The workforce will bend to them. The workplace bends to them, right? They get nice open areas. They get plants. They get contributions. They expect to be able to go to the CEO and voice their opinions and for those opinions to be heard. They work completely differently. Mobile browsing became the most common way to access the internet. All right, you're all MSPs. How many people here have a service that provides a managed service around your users' devices? You manage their PCs, you manage their desktops, you manage their servers. Who manages their devices? So you are missing out on the charging that user to manage their devices. How many devices do people have on average? 3. How often do they turn them over? 6 to 12 months. They need to be set up, they need to be managed, they need to be secured. These are the most common way to connect to the internet. On the internet is their information, is Office 365, is all the other stuff. Technology is pervasive. What does that mean? Everybody here in this room can sell Windows 10 or Windows Server. You can sell Office 365, you can sell Azure. I can do that, Daniel can do that. The man in the street can do that. Technology is pervasive. There's no differentiation between the product. You are all selling the same product. How then do you make money if all the technology is common? Right, it's your bundled IP. It's what you offer above and beyond the standard product. How you deliver that, how you bundle that, what else you provide around the technology. If you're just selling a product, adding margin and giving it to a customer, right, you're in a commodity business. You're never going to survive. Right? Technology is the same. All right? You need to think globally. Okay? What's preventing you from selling your services in the next state, in the next country? Right? Office 365 is a standard service right around the world. If you come up with an Office 365 product offering service, you could sell it to a global market. If you can sell that online using e-commerce where they buy 24/7 and you don't have to do anything like a mobile app, it's a pretty easy way to generate additional revenue. Most people think that the way they generate revenue is by driving as far as they can in a day to get back into service job. Right? You need to think of scale. You need to think of working beyond the region you're in. And commoditization. You make no money selling hardware. You make no money selling licenses of Azure, Office 365 or software. Where do you make money? If you are trying to compete in a market that is commoditized, you are going to lose, right? So we would all probably agree that Coles, Woolworths and Aldi are the biggest providers in our market who in the largest commoditization market. They're all fighting tooth and nail to make that last dollar. Aldi, Coles and Woolworths are absolutely petrified of one business. What is the one business that will come in and gazump every single one of them, no matter how big they are?
Amazon.
Amazon is due in Australia in November. Coles, Woolworths and Aldi combined are the biggest sellers in Australia and they are petrified of someone bigger like Amazon coming in and just wiping them out of the market. If you're in a commoditization market, that's what you need to prepare for. So the major trends here is automation, right? You need to be automating everything you do. How much automation do you have in your organization? What do you have to do when a user resigns from an organization you look after? Kathy's left the business. What steps do you need to take to secure her information? What does your client ask you to do? What are the steps you need to do? Keep going, what else? Remove the license, give permissions, change the password, allocate somebody else to look at the stuff, delete their data, and so on and so on. How many people here have an automated process? They push one button and it does all of that in one hit? No. So it's taking you 30 minutes to do that, roughly, going through the web interface, allowing you to make mistakes, missteps. I do all that using a PowerShell script that takes 2 minutes to run. Never makes a mistake, does the same thing every time, and my total amount of effort is the effort that I put in pushing the enter key. That's it. Now, because I've automated that process, I've reduced the time to do it, but what else have I done? What's the other benefit I've provided by automating?
Consistency.
Consistency, something else. I can now outsource that automation task to someone at a lower labor cost, because I know that they push the button, they will get the same result as if I push the button. So why should I push the button? Okay, that's the benefit of automation. Right, machine learning and artificial intelligence, right? That's a huge thing. Taking massive amounts of data and looking for trends. Humans are very, very predictable creatures. Big data, right? Big data is ginormous. Think of all the companies you work with, point of sale, all that data. The killer app for big data in Office 365 is Power BI, okay? Mobility, like I said,
managing mobile devices, securing mobile devices, upgrading mobile devices is only going to become more prevalent. If you are not in that market, you are missing out a huge revenue opportunity and making yourself, giving yourself much greater risk from somebody else coming in and doing the same thing. Augmented reality, things like HoloLens, right? The ability to do training and that is a big trend. And thank God for white collar client, right? We need to secure our data in a much better way, right? Bad passwords, uninformed users, right, are still prevalent and will continue to grow. There is a huge opportunity in the market for people to secure information and devices, right? A user rings you up and says, oh, I left my device in a taxi. It has my Ingram Micro customer code. How do I get rid of, or how do I erase that? Can you do that? Right, you need to do that as quick as possible, okay? So the macro trends are, as I mentioned, technology is your competitive edge, right? Windows 2016 provides the ability to do things like NanoServer. Has anybody here worked with NanoServer? Has anybody here worked with Docker? Has anybody here worked with containers? This is the latest on-prem technology, right? You've got all the cloud stuff, but you've still got all this on-prem stuff that provides opportunity and nobody's doing it, right? You're leaving huge opportunity on the table here. You've got to help customers grow their business. How do you help a customer grow their business? The same way you grow your business. How do you grow your business? Make more profit. That's it, bottom line, make more profit. You need to help your customers make more profit. If you provide no value moving data from email on-prem to email in Office 365, if the customer sees no benefit, no difference, no value, what have you done to the customer? You've made an expense on the customer's bottom line. You've cost the customer money. Sure, it's more reliable, it's, better access, all that sort of stuff. But in the customer's mind, you are pure expense. You have provided no additional value. Right? You need to consult and resell. You can't just dump a product, drop ship and run out the door. You need to consult. You need to provide value around it. What are you good at? What are you the best at in the world? Right? That's what you need to sell. Not what everybody else is doing. If everybody in this room is doing MSP and doing the same thing, and I'm a customer, how do I make my judgment on who I choose? What one metric do I use to pick between all of you if I think you're the same?
Price.
And who do I choose? The cheapest. If you do what everybody else does, you're in a commodity market. You've got to help the customer re-engineer their business. Introduce OneNote, show them how to use Teams, show them how to use Power BI, show them stuff they haven't seen. What's the business benefit of moving email from on-prem to Office 365 if it looks the same to the customer's mind? It's the same as it was before, isn't it? They've never seen the back end. It's always been reliable. To the customer, it's like, this is an expense. All right? And change is hard. There's no question that changing is hard. But what's the good thing about things that are hard? Those that do them get the benefit. Those who don't are discouraged and it keeps them out of the environment. So therefore the reality here is that if you're able to do the hard things, then you're obviously going to be able to get the benefits because the hard work always pays off. People can't magically down a pill to give them to overcome the hard work, can they? If they did, then those diet things would have worked, but they never do they? Comes down to hard work. Okay.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact. This podcast is voiced and produced by me, Mark Keane.